Welcome to this, our heritage audio trail, one of a series exploring the history of the mussel fishing industry in Conwy. Discover the tales of our ancestors and how their lives shaped the landscape and culture of the Wales we see today. The Conwy mussel industry has existed for a long time. In fact, not so many years ago, over 90 fishermen worked on the Conwy River fishing for mussels. Despite increased competition from dredged and rope-grown mussels and changes to purification regulations, the way mussels are fished remains unchanged. In Roman times, valuable pearls could be found in the mussels of the River Conwy. A pearl from the shores upstream gleams among the crown jewels. This exceptionally large jewel was allegedly presented to Catherine, consort of Charles II, by her chamberlain Sir Richard Wynne of Gwydir in the 17th century. Over the years, trade in pearls flourished, with Conwy soon becoming one of the most important pearl fisheries in Britain. For years, mussels had been fished solely for these pearls, with the flesh from the shellfish being cast aside or fed to animals. As pearls became more rare, mussels were fished especially for their food, and the industry that thrives today was born. Cistercian monks had settled here in the 13th century at Aberconwy Abbey, now the site of St Mary's Church, and taught farming and fishing techniques to locals. The monks fished the estuary for mussels, cockles and oysters, and were the designers of the long-handled pitch pine rakes that are still used by today's Conwy musselmen. 2 centuries later, after Owain Glyndŵr's rebellion, by 1410, according to E. Howson's An Historic Tour of Conwy, published by Cyhoeddiadau May in 1980, the inhabitants of Conwy began to look to their own prosperity and trade began to improve. Conwy developed a reputation for providing particularly good oysters and mussels, for which it became quite famous. E. Howson adds that people would travel to Conwy to work on the mussel and oyster beds looking for pearls. When restoration work was carried out on the castle during the 1920s, huge piles of oyster shells were discovered under the floor of the Great Hall of the castle. In his History and Antiquities of the Town of Aberconwy and its Neighbourhood, Reverend Robert Williams in 1835 alludes to the continuing search for pearls and to the 2 varieties of Conwy pearl mussels, and with mussels spelled as part of the body. There are 2 kinds of mussels found in the Conwy from which pearls are obtained, Maia margaritifera, Kraken Adilio, and the Mytilus edulis, Kraken Ids. He describes how those of the former species are procured high up the river above Trefriw, and pearls scarcely inferior to the oriental ones are occasionally found in them. The pearl which Sir Richard Wynne of Gwydir, chamberlain to Catherine, Queen of Charles II, presented to Her Majesty was of this kind, and it is said that it adorned the regal crown. These fine pearls are but seldom met with, although the shells are common and the search of them does not afford regular employment. This shell is 5.5 inches long and 2.5 broad. The other variety, the Kraken Lass, is found in abundance on the bar at the mouth of the river, and great quantities of the mussels are daily gathered by numbers of industrious persons. At ebb tide, the fishers, men, women and children, may be observed busily collecting the mussels until they are driven away by the flood. The fish are picked out and put into a tub, and stamped with the feet until they are reduced to a pulp. When, water being poured in, the animal matter floats, which is called solach, and is used as food for ducks, while the sand, particles of stone, and the pearls settle in the bottom. After numerous washings, the sediment is carefully collected and dried, and the pearls, even the most minute, are separated with a feather on a large wooden platter. The pearls are then taken to the agent, who pays for them so much an ounce. The price varies from 1 shilling and sixpence to 3 shillings, according to the supply. Although the mussels are not so abundant as formerly, it is surprising that the great quantities collected have not exhausted the beds. The final destination of these pearls is completely hid in mystery, and is only known to the gentleman who buys them up, the fortunate possessor of what is a valuable secret. Since the first days of the mussel fishing industry, generations of the same few families of Conwy fishermen have worked here, on the same beaches in the estuary. Until quite recently, the women of the mussel fishing families could also be found picking and sorting. The musselmen used the same techniques as their forefathers did, with the mussels being gently raked up from the beds and dropped into the boats before being brought ashore for sorting and cleaning. The Conwy mussel industry has thus survived for hundreds of years. Despite intrusions by the tunnel workings, increased competition from dredged and rope-grown mussels, stringent purification regulations, and the fact that only a handful of licenses are held today, the sought-after Conwy mussels are enthusiastically fished here in essentially the same way as they were long ago. 1. Benarth Purification Plant, the tanks, to Joiners Arms Beach. Start at Riverside Business Park, Benarth Road, Conwy, sited behind the castle walls at the bridge end of the town. Walking inland down from the roundabout outside the Guild Hall on Castle Square, pass under the arch and turn left at the bowling green. The tanks once lay on what is now the concreted over site at Riverside Business Park on Benarth Road, just outside Conwy on the way to Guffin. The original greenfield site lay at a point close to the foreshore of the estuary, where Conwy Borough Council built the mussel purification tanks at a spot where seawater could be pumped from the foreshore pump house. Mussels from the estuary were brought in by the fishermen to be purified, but as this purification method proved initially unsatisfactory, in 1918 the Ministry of Agriculture and Fisheries took over the tanks. Research was begun at Castle Bank at the other side of town, and the tanks were working efficiently by 1928. Until the 1970s, the output of mussels was around 500 tonnes a year. When the mussel fishers came into the beach here with their catch, they would haul the sacks of mussels ashore. The mussels would then be placed on an escalator which carried them up to the tanks. The mussel purification area was split into three and divided into grids made from pitch pine and oak from the old bridge, which was demolished in 1915. 3 times a week, 300 bags of mussels weighing 100 weight each were dispatched to Birmingham, Sheffield and Doncaster markets. The harbour side in its heyday would be a flurry of shovels and bricks flying all over the place, recalls Ronnie Else, the site worker who oversaw the work and distributed sacks from a little hut. After the mussels had been placed on the grids, they would be hosed off with fresh water. There was a holding tank at the site where 90,000 gallons of seawater, filled the day before at the rate of 1,000 gallons a minute, were pumped up from the pump house below. 90,000 gallons were sufficient to fill the 3 tanks twice. The water would then be chlorinated to kill any bacteria and would be then left to stand for 24 hours. Before any seawater was put into the tanks, fresh water would be flushed from under the grids. Once the big trough was flooded with water, it would run off and out to sea. After 24 hours, the chlorinated seawater would be released and the process would be repeated, with 10 gallons of water every 24 hours passing through each 2-inch mussel during the 2-day process. At that time, there were 35 people working at the site, each with their particular corner, but never arguing about whose was which. There was, and still is, great camaraderie among the mussel fishermen. The musselmen would shovel the haul into the 100 weight sterilised sacks. The sacks would then be sealed with the Ministry of Agriculture and Fisheries seal to guarantee that they had been purified, and the fishermen would fasten on their own labels before the sacks were loaded and passed down a ramp to the waiting wagons. By the mid-1980s, fewer than 10 men were involved in what had been a thriving concern employing up to 50 men, and the purification plant on Conwy Quay was built. Men from the original site can still be found today, mending their boats on the same beach here at Benarth, happy to talk about their mussel fishing days. Only a few have licences now, but watch out for any activity on the water and look out for boats sailing towards the small pontoon off the bridge, where the mussels are washed. Incidentally, a November 1999 edition of Shellfish News, published by the Centre for Environment, Fisheries and Aquaculture Science, reports the end of an era at Conwy. After nearly 100 years of research and development, the site lab was closed. Now, retrace your steps into the town, cross by the roundabout, and walk down to the quay through the arch of Porth Bach facing you. 2. Porth Bach Beach. Porth Bach is a small gateway in the Conwy town walls near the harbour master's office, which you will discover as you leave the quayside. The gateway allowed access to the southeastern area of the waterfront. It is set in the shadow of one of the town wall's towers and would have been in full view from the castle. The old customs house by Porth Bach, now the harbour master's office, was once used both as boatyard and company office by Crossfields boat builders. Brian Porth Bach Jones, who was a musselman from his early days, lived in the cottages at Custom House Terrace, and in his own words, wagged off school to go on the boats at 10 years old. Brian was following not only in the footsteps of his father Llew, but also his grandfather and great-grandfather before him, who had worked in all weathers with a 30-foot pole and iron rake. Brian remembers that instead of using outboard motors, some of the musselmen would hoist a sail on the little wooden boats, and that, as a rule, the fishermen didn't wear life jackets. Out of the mussel fishing season, the men would repaint the yachts or rowing boats or go salmon fishing further upriver. The salmon season starts on April the 1st and the mussel fishing season runs from September to April, so it would fit in well. In later life, Brian's wife Sandy would go onto the mussel beds with Brian, where he'd taught her to hand pick the mussels while he raked further off at sea. Sandy would sometimes drive her Subaru onto the beach and load up the mussels to take them to Bangor for purification, as the tanks at Benarth had been closed. At that time, mussels were then taken twice a week by road to the agents, who would phone with their order for nationwide distribution. On the quay here you will find the Conwy mussel sculpture, Mytilus idulis, created by Graham Mitchison from Kilkenny Limestone in 2007. The Mytilus edulis is also called the blue mussel and known as the common mussel. Blue mussels live in intertidal areas. They attach themselves to rocks by strong and somewhat elastic thread-like structures secreted by glands located in the foot of the mussel. The shape of the shell is triangular with rounded edges. The shell is smooth and covered with fine concentric growth lines. To the right of the sculpture is the Mussel Museum and home of Conwy mussels, whose fishermen from small craft hand-rake the shellfish from where they grow on the estuary seabed, where the Conwy River meets the sea. Retired engineer Peter Higginbottom, now living in Llandindo Junction, who had joined his father Alfred and his grandfather James in their engineering business on Conwy Quay in the 1920s, remembers a flourishing quayside full of fishing boats and trawlers, and the musselmen from local families such as the Jones, Roberts, Cravens and Hugheses setting off towards the beds. J&A Higginbottom's engineering shop and blacksmiths on the quay had started out as a garage, repairing cars and boat engines, but before long Peter found himself not only helping out his father with the repair and servicing of fishing boats, but also employing men to mend and make the mussel fishers pitch pine rakes to the traditional design. 3. Conwy Mussels and Mussel Museum. Here you can learn about the history of pearl fishing from Roman times. Find out how mussels are harvested today. See the state-of-the-art mussel purification tanks. Find out how to enjoy this tasty treat considered by some to be an aphrodisiac. The Conway Mussels building on the quay was designed specifically for the purification of mussels. At Conway Mussels, Tom Jones, a descendant of one of the original mussel fishing families, runs the business he has taken over from his father Trevor, who still works as a musselman today, fishing out in the estuary in all weathers, with rakings varying in the amounts they bring in, and rakes often freezing as they are pulled out of midwinter seas. The mussel beds are spread out across the estuary, where the water is a mix of river and seawater. The traditional way of mussel gathering has continued for centuries, and the practice of hand-raking wild mussels from small wooden boats has been passed down through three generations of the Jones family. After the industry's move from the old purification plant at Benarth, Trevor Jones worked here in partnership with fishermen Martin Parry and Francis Smith. There were 19 mussel fishermen at the time raking on the river. As a boy, Tom had watched how his father fished and was later taught how to rake by Ken Rimmer Hughes from Berry Street, who in his late 80s is the oldest musselman in the town today. At first, the long-handled pitch pine rake would be full of seaweed and sand, but Tom slowly learned the traditional method of throwing it over the side of the boat and gently raking the mussels in, half a rakeful at a time. When he took over from his father Trevor, Tom was eager to maintain the traditional natural mussel harvesting methods of his antecedents, but felt it was also time to develop modern marketing skills. Tom is proud of the quality of the Conway mussel, which he believes is due to the mix of fresh and salt water at the estuary mouth, which bestows a unique flavour and aroma to the shellfish. The mussels from deeper waters, which are larger and black, are called black diamonds by the musselmen, while others are tinted white or blue. Mussels take about 3 years to grow full size from the golden seeds of spatfall found in the shallows. It's a natural process where the mussels rely on bad weather to roll them into the deep to grow to full size. And part of the fisherman's skill is finding the mussels. Using a 20-foot pitch pine rake, they dig until their boats are full. The freshly gathered mussels are washed on arrival at the processing plant on the quay, where they are purified 48 hours to remove any bacteria. One more wash in cold, fresh water, and the mussels are hand-picked, weighed and bagged, ready to be eaten. It's sustainable fishing from a natural bed in the estuary, and Tom's mussels are unique in the whole of the UK. They are hand-raked as opposed to dredged or rope-grown. Yet Tom is just one in what is now only a sprinkling of licence holders. Outside the season, most musselmen work as fishermen, and Tom opens the processing plant as a visitor centre and mussel museum. Passing along the quay, one can see the site of the restoration of Helen II, a Morecambe Bay prawner built by Crossfields in 1908. Crossfields of Arnside were prolific boat builders, and a later branch of the family started the yards at Conway. At Crossfields boatyards, vessels for the fishing industry were built. A typical example is the Nobby. By February 2014, most of the frames, like ribs, were being replaced. The older ones were removed and the new ones painted orange. Locals remember Crossfields boatyards, both on the quay and inside the castle walls, at the site of what is now the boathouse, found ahead through the wing gate. According to Jeff Burns, whose house, Shaw Cottage, dates from the 13th century and was built with pebbles from the beach. 4. The Liverpool Arms. Once known as the glue pot, as no one could supposedly get out once they'd got in, this pub, a favourite of the musselmen, is built against part of the town walls, close to the original archway at Porth Isaf, Lower Gate. The Liverpool Arms is said to have been first owned by a ship's captain who sailed between Liverpool and Conway. A Cadw survey of 1961 suggests that the pub was built in the late 18th century, and records from the Gwynedd Archaeological Trust show it on a map of 1776, where it is described as a house and garden of three gates. The pub was kept by John Jones, the captain of the Conway Castle, a packet that sailed between Conway and Liverpool around 1837, which explains the name. He and his family lie in St Mary's Churchyard. In the early 1900s, a Mrs Craven of the Craven fishing family had been the licensee. The present licensee is Jonathan Jones, who has run the pub with his wife Claire for over 15 years. It is said that from the time of Edward I, Lower Gates, with its harbour access, had been one of the most important gateways to the town. Edward's troops used one of the towers flanking the gate as a tavern, so it is not surprising that a hostelry was built on the same spot. The town wall runs through the building and the present day cellar is in one of the towers. The pub is mentioned in 1837 in a book called A Tip to Conway, which records that the writer landed at Conway, lodged there very comfortably overnight, and after an excellent dinner of trout and maybe mussels, boarded the Conway Castle for home. Musselman John Dunphy Roberts, who crewed for the Conway and Llandudno lifeboats until 20 years ago, and served on the Lancashire and North Wales Sea Fisheries Committee, also represented the mussel fishers and their interests for many years as chairman of the Conway Harbour Committee and as chairman of the Conway Musselmen's Association. John remembers coming back from musseling trips to change his clothes in the car before a meeting, none of which he missed, while the others all disappeared inside the Liverpool Arms for a well-earned pint. Fishermen still use the pub today, and its walls are covered in photographs of Conway characters and their craft. You will discover many old black and white pictures of fishermen at their boats on the walls, including a cosy scene with the oldest musselman in the town, Ken Rimmer Hughes, as he sits chatting to his fishing chums in an atmospheric shot from long ago. Tom from the Mussel Museum also features, where the pictures convey a vivid sense of the hard work and commitment of the men, as well as some of the romance of the fishing life. With luck, there will be one or two musselmen among the sailors you can talk to, who will happily regale you with tales of life at sea and tell the stories of those in the photographs over a pint or two of ale. George Hughes, a Conway boy from the Hughes clan now living in Chester, who used to go musseling with his father as a young man, reports that he fondly remembers the old sing-alongs in the Liverpool Arms. 5. The Joiner's Arms Beach. Passing along Lower Gate Street and the smallest house, one of Conway's biggest attractions, one learns that a fisherman named Robert Jones lived here until 1900, and also that mussel gathering has continued through the decades despite the fluctuations in other local industries, with the pearl fishing on the Morva mentioned long ago by the Reverend Robert Williams. Through the wing gate, you will find yourself at the site of the old pub, the Joiner's Arms, now a house called Glanner Avon, and the Joiner's Arms Beach, also known as Second Beach, and the chosen beach of Johnny Roberts' family, from which the musselmen would set off. Johnny Roberts now runs the Castle Gallery Cafe, and recalls setting off from this beach to fish for mussels around distant perch, visible from Tuthill Point at the bend in Marine Walk. Johnny, fishing with his father, John Lonnith, whose photograph is to be found on the cafe walls among those of Johnny's many relatives and friends, remembers it as a great life. When it was dry, he says, in the middle, where the perch is, they called Green Island. The fishers wrapped their fingers in calico and used homemade tuckers to collect the mussels. Then they tried marigold gloves, and Johnny invites you to imagine the burly men in yellow marigolds. But they soon fell apart, so they resumed wearing the calico. At the start of the season, the fishermen's shoulders would be raw from the rakes, remembers Johnny, and the gatherer's hands soft, but they soon hardened up. The men would come back on the flood to the tanks of Benarth, carrying their sacks of mussels for cleaning and weighing. Crossfields of Anside, prolific boat builders in their day, opened the yard at Conway near the Joiner's Arms Beach against the castle wall through the wing gate. Nearby Shaw Cottage dates from the 13th century and was built with pebbles from the beach. Rising sun takes the mist away. Boats launch. Laughing and joking musclemen start work early. My auntie points to the tide going out. Her weather-beaten face smiles towards the rising sun. Her wrinkles are like sun rays. Light from her eyes warms me up at my first morning as the mussel gatherer. I am 80 years old in this photograph. Conwy Town, my family nest, life flows as the river. Tamara Rogers. It's very cold. The sun has yet to rise, but there's a pinkish glow in the sky. Still glazed and mute with sleep, I nod a greeting to the milkman as he manoeuvres his float down the cobbled hill of the dream-bound town, leaving a sound of clinking milk bottles in his wake. Down on the quay, seagulls mew like hungry cats, while the little boats lying at anchor turn to face the fast-running tide. All at once, I am hit by the familiar salt, fish and oil tang of the river, and the sound of slurping and sucking as it laps against the harbour walls and licks the hulls of docked boats. The launch and mussel boats are already at the slipway, loaded up with rakes and rope baskets. Voices carry across the water. The lads' heads are wreathed in plumes of steam as their hot laughter meets the frosty air. A full, faded moon, the cry of oyster catchers, light on the water. Beth Bithell. This audio trail was created by Tape Community Music and Film with the Writer Within through the Our Heritage project led by Gwynedd Council in partnership with Conwy Council, Snowdonian National Park Authority and partners. It is part of the Heritage Tourism project led by Cadw and is part funded by the European Regional Development Fund through the Welsh Government.